The Sabbath, translated by Bhikkhu Sajjato. The Sabbath, with eight factors, in brief. So I have heard. At one time, the Buddha was staying near Sarvati in Jeta's Grove, an Artapindika's monastery. There the Buddha addressed the mendicants. Mendicants? Venerable sir, they replied. The Buddha said this. Mendicants, the observance of the Sabbath with its eight factors is very fruitful and beneficial and splendid and bountiful. And how should it be observed? It's when a noble disciple reflects, as long as they live, the perfected ones give up killing living creatures, renouncing the rod and the sword. They are scrupulous and kind, and live full of compassion for all living beings. I, too, for this day and night will give up killing living creatures, renouncing the rod and the sword. I'll be scrupulous and kind, and live full of compassion for all living beings. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its first factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up stealing. They take only what's given and expect only what's given. They keep themselves clean by not thieving. I, too, for this day and night will give up stealing. I'll take only what's given and expect only what's given. I'll keep myself clean by not thieving. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its second factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up unchastity. They are celibate, set apart, avoiding the vulgar act of sex. I too, for this day and night, will give up unchastity. I will be celibate, set apart, avoiding the vulgar act of sex. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its third factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up lying. They speak the truth and stick to the truth. They are honest and trustworthy, and don't trick the world with their words. I too, for this day and night, will give up lying. I'll speak the truth and stick to the truth. I'll be honest and trustworthy, and won't trick the world with my words. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its fourth factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up alcoholic drinks that caused negligence. I too, for this day and night, will give up alcoholic drinks that caused negligence. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its fifth factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones eat in one part of the day, abstaining from eating at night and from food at the wrong time. I too, for this day and night, will eat in one part of the day, abstaining from eating at night and food at the wrong time. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its sixth factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up seeing shows of dancing, singing and music, and beautifying and adorning themselves with garlands, fragrance and makeup. I too, for this day and night, will give up seeing shows of dancing, singing and music, and beautifying and adorning myself with garlands, fragrance and makeup. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its seventh factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up high and luxurious beds. They sleep in a low place, either a small bed or a straw mat. I too, for this day and night, will give up high and luxurious beds. I'll sleep in a low place, either a small bed or a straw mat. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its eighth factor. The observance of the Sabbath with its eight factors in this way is very fruitful and beneficial and splendid and bountiful. The Sabbath with its eight factors in detail. Mendicants, the observance of the Sabbath with its eight factors is very fruitful and beneficial and splendid and bountiful. And how should it be observed? It's when a noble disciple reflects, as long as they live, the perfected ones give up killing living creatures, renouncing the rod and the sword. They are scrupulous and kind, and live full of compassion for all living beings. I too, for this day and night, will give up killing living creatures, renouncing the rod and the sword. I'll be scrupulous and kind, and live full of compassion for all living beings. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its first factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up stealing. They take only what's given and expect only what's given. They keep themselves clean by not thieving. I too, for this day and night, will give up stealing. I'll take only what's given and expect only what's given. I'll keep myself clean by not thieving. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its second factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up unchastity. They are celibate, set apart, avoiding the vulgar act of sex. I too, for this day and night, will give up unchastity. I will be celibate, set apart, avoiding the vulgar act of sex. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its third factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up lying. They speak the truth and stick to the truth. They're honest and trustworthy and don't trick the world with their words. I too, for this day and night, will give up lying. I'll speak the truth and stick to the truth. I'll be honest and trustworthy and won't trick the world with my words. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its fourth factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up alcoholic drinks that cause negligence. I too, for this day and night, will give up alcoholic drinks that cause negligence. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its fifth factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones eat in one part of the day, abstaining from eating at night and from food at the wrong time. I too, for this day and night, will eat in one part of the day, abstaining from eating at night and food at the wrong time. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its sixth factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up seeing shows of dancing, singing and music, and beautifying and adorning themselves with garlands, fragrance and makeup. I too, for this day and night, will give up seeing shows of dancing, singing and music, and beautifying and adorning myself with garlands, fragrance and makeup. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its seventh factor. As long as they live, the perfected ones give up high and luxurious beds. They sleep in a low place, either a small bed or a straw mat. I too, for this day and night, will give up high and luxurious beds. I'll sleep in a low place, either a small bed or a straw mat. I will observe the Sabbath by doing as the perfected ones do in this respect. This is its eighth factor. The observance of the Sabbath with its eight factors in this way is very fruitful and beneficial and splendid and bountiful. How much so? Suppose you were to rule as sovereign lord over these 16 great countries, Anga, Magadha, Kasi, Kosala, Waji, Malla, Cheti, Vacha, Kuru, Panchala, Macha, Sorusena, Asaka, Awanti, Gandhara, and Kamboja, full of the seven kinds of precious things. This wouldn't be worth a 16th part of the Sabbath with its eight factors. Why is that? Because human kinship is a poor thing compared to the happiness of the gods. 50 years in the human realm is one day and night for the gods of the four great kings. 30 such days make up a month. 12 such months make up a year. The lifespan of the gods of the four great kings is 500 of these divine years. It's possible that a woman or man who has observed the eight-factored Sabbath will, when their body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of the gods of the four great kings. This is what I was referring to when I said, human kingship is a poor thing compared to the happiness of the gods. 100 years in the human realm is 1 day and night for the gods of the 33. 30 such days make up a month. 12 such months make up a year. The lifespan of the gods of the 33 is 1,000 of these divine years. It's possible that a woman or man who has observed the eight-factored Sabbath will, when their body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of the gods of the 33. This is what I was referring to when I said, human kingship is a poor thing compared to the happiness of the gods. 200 years in the human realm is 1 day and night for the gods of Yama. 30 such days make up a month. 12 such months make up a year. The lifespan of the gods of Yama is 2,000 of these divine years. It's possible that a woman or man who has observed the eight-factored Sabbath will, when their body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of the gods of Yama. This is what I was referring to when I said, human kingship is a poor thing compared to the happiness of the gods. 400 years in the human realm is 1 day and night for the joyful gods. 30 such days make up a month. 12 such months make up a year. The lifespan of the joyful gods is 4,000 of these divine years. It's possible that a woman or man who has observed the eight-factored Sabbath will, when their body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of the joyful gods. This is what I was referring to when I said, human kingship is a poor thing compared to the happiness of the gods. 800 years in the human realm is 1 day and night for the gods who love to imagine. 30 such days make up a month. 12 such months make up a year. The lifespan of the gods who love to imagine is 8,000 of these divine years. It's possible that a woman or man who has observed the eight-factored Sabbath will, when their body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of the gods who love to imagine. This is what I was referring to when I said, human kingship is a poor thing compared to the happiness of the gods. 1,600 years in the human realm is 1 day and night for the gods who control what is imagined by others. 30 such days make up a month. 12 such months make up a year. The lifespan of the gods who control what is imagined by others is 16,000 of these divine years. It's possible that a woman or man who has observed the eight-factored Sabbath will, when their body breaks up after death, be reborn in the company of the gods who control what is imagined by others. This is what I was referring to when I said, human kingship is a poor thing compared to the happiness of the gods. You shouldn't kill living creatures, or steal, or lie, or drink alcohol. Be celibate, refraining from sex, and don't eat at night, the wrong time. Not wearing garlands or applying perfumes, you should sleep on a low bed or a mat on the ground. This is the eight-factored Sabbath, they say, explained by the Buddha, who has gone to suffering's end. The moon and sun are both fair to see, radiating as far as they revolve. Those shining ones in the sky light up the quarters, dispelling the darkness as they traverse the heavens. All of the wealth that's found in this realm, pearls, gems, fine beryl too, rose gold or pure gold or natural gold dug up by marmots, they're not worth a 16th part of the Sabbath with its eight factors, as starlight cannot rival the moon. So an ethical woman or man who has observed the eight-factored Sabbath, having made merit whose outcome is happiness, blameless, they go to a heavenly place. With Vasetha on the Sabbath. At one time the Buddha was staying near Vasali at the great wood, in the hall with the peaked roof. Then the layman, Vasetha, went up to the Buddha, bowed and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to him, Vasetha, the observance of the Sabbath with its eight factors is very fruitful and beneficial, and splendid and bountiful. Blameless, they go to a heavenly place. When he said this, Vasetha said to the Buddha, If my loved ones, relatives and kin, were to observe this Sabbath with its eight factors, it would be for their lasting welfare and happiness. If all the aristocrats, Brahmins, peasants, and menials were to observe this Sabbath with its eight factors, it would be for their lasting welfare and happiness. That's so true, Vasetha. That's so true, Vasetha. If all the aristocrats, Brahmins, peasants, and menials were to observe this Sabbath with its eight factors, it would be for their lasting welfare and happiness. If the whole world, with its gods, Maras, and Brahmas, this population with its ascetics and Brahmins, gods and humans, were to observe this Sabbath with its eight factors, it would be for their lasting welfare and happiness. If these great sal trees were to observe this Sabbath with its eight factors, it would be for their lasting welfare and happiness, if they were sentient. How much more, then, a human being? Anuruddha and the Agreeable Deities. At one time the Buddha was staying near Kosambi in Gusita's monastery. Now at that time, Venerable Anuruddha had gone into retreat for the day's meditation. Then several deities of the lovable host went up to Venerable Anuruddha, bowed, stood to one side and said to him, Honourable Anuruddha, we are the deities called lovable. We wield authority and control over three things. We can turn any colour we want on the spot. We can get any voice that we want on the spot. We can get any pleasure that we want on the spot. We are the deities called lovable. We wield authority and control over these three things. Then Venerable Anuruddha thought, if only these deities would all turn blue, of blue colour, clad in blue, adorned with blue. Then those deities, knowing Anuruddha's thought, all turned blue. Then Venerable Anuruddha thought, if only these deities would all turn yellow. If only these gods would all turn red. If only these gods would all turn white. Then those deities, knowing Anuruddha's thought, all turned white. Then one of those deities sang, one danced, and one snapped her fingers. Suppose there was a quintet made up of skilled musicians who had practiced well and kept excellent rhythm. They'd sound graceful, tantalizing, sensuous, lovely, and intoxicating. In the same way, the performance by those deities sounded graceful, tantalizing, sensuous, lovely, and intoxicating. But Venerable Anuruddha averted his senses. Then those deities, thinking, Mr. Anuruddha isn't enjoying this, vanished right there. Then, in the late afternoon, Anuruddha came out of retreat and went to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side, and told him what had happened, adding, How many qualities do females have so that, when their body breaks up after death, they are reborn in company with the gods of the lovable host? Anuruddha, when they have eight qualities, females, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in company with the gods of the lovable host. What eight? Take the case of a female whose mother and father give her to a husband wanting what's best for her, out of kindness and compassion. She would get up before him and go to bed after him, and be obliging, behaving nicely and speaking politely. She honours, respects, esteems and venerates those her husband respects, such as mother and father, and ascetics and Brahmins. And when they arrive, she serves them with a seat and water. She's deft and tireless in her husband's household duties, such as knitting and sewing. She understands how to go about things in order to complete and organize the work. She knows what work her husbands, domestic bondservants, servants, and workers have completed, and what they've left incomplete. She knows who is sick and who is fit or unwell. She distributes to each a fair portion of fresh and cooked foods. She ensures that any income her husband earns is guarded and protected, whether money, grain, silver, or gold. She doesn't overspend, steal, waste, or lose it. She's a lay follower who has gone for refuge to the Buddha, his teaching, and the Sangha. She's ethical. She doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, lie, or use alcoholic drinks that cause negligence. She's generous. She lives at home rid of the stain of stinginess, freely generous, open-handed, loving to let go, committed to charity, loving to give and to share. When they have these eight qualities, females, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in company with the gods of the lovable host. She'd never look down on her husband, who's always eager to work hard, always looking after her and bringing whatever she wants. And a good woman never scolds her husband with jealous words. Being astute, she reveres those respected by her husband. She gets up early, works tirelessly, and manages the domestic help. She's lovable to her husband and preserves his wealth. A lady who fulfills these duties according to her husband's desire is reborn among the gods called lovable. With Visakha on the lovable gods. At one time, the Buddha was staying near Sarvati in the Eastern Monastery, the stilt longhouse of Megara's mother. Then Visakha, Megara's mother, went up to the Buddha, bowed, and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to her, Visakha, when they have eight qualities, females, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in company with the gods of the lovable host. What eight? Take the case of a female whose mother and father give her to a husband wanting what's best for her, out of kindness and compassion. She would get up before him and go to bed after him, and be obliging, behaving nicely, and speaking politely. She's generous. She lives at home rid of the stain of stinginess, freely generous, open-handed, loving to let go, committed to charity, loving to give and to share. When they have these eight qualities, females, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in company with the gods of the lovable host. She'd never look down on her husband, who's always eager to work hard, always looking after her and bringing whatever she wants. And a good woman never scolds her husband with jealous words. Being astute, she reveres those respected by her husband. She gets up early, works tirelessly, and manages the domestic help. She's lovable to her husband and preserves his wealth. A lady who fulfills these duties according to her husband's desire is reborn among the gods called lovable. With Nakula's mother on the lovable gods. At one time, the Buddha was staying in the land of the Buggas at Crocodile Hill, in the deer park at Besakala's wood. Then the housewife, Nakula's mother, went up to the Buddha, bowed, and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to her, Nakula's mother, when they have eight qualities, females, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in company with the gods of the lovable host. What eight? Take the case of a female whose mother and father give her to a husband wanting what's best for her, out of kindness and compassion. She would get up before him and go to bed after him, and be obliging, behaving nicely and speaking politely. She honours, respects, esteems and venerates those her husband respects, such as mother and father, and ascetics and Brahmins. And when they arrive, she serves them with a seat and water. She's deft and tireless in her husband's household duties, such as knitting and sewing. She understands how to go about things in order to complete and organise the work. She knows what work her husband's domestic bondservants, servants and workers have completed, and what they've left incomplete. She knows who is sick and who is fit or unwell. She distributes to each a fair portion of fresh and cooked foods. She ensures that any income her husband earns is guarded and protected, whether money, grain, silver or gold. She doesn't overspend, steal, waste or lose it. She's a lay follower who has gone for refuge to the Buddha, his teaching and the Sangha. She's ethical. She doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, lie or use alcoholic drinks that cause negligence. She's generous. She lives at home, rid of the stain of stinginess, freely generous, open-handed, loving to let go, committed to charity, loving to give and to share. When they have these eight qualities, females, when their body breaks up after death, are reborn in company with the gods of the lovable host. She'd never look down on her husband, who's always eager to work hard, always looking after her and bringing whatever she wants. And a good woman never scolds her husband with jealous words. Being astute, she reveres those respected by her husband. She gets up early, works tirelessly, and manages the domestic help. She's lovable to her husband and preserves his wealth. A lady who fulfills these duties according to her husband's desire is reborn among the gods called lovable. Winning in this life, first. At one time, the Buddha was staying near Sarvati in the eastern monastery, the stilt longhouse of Megara's mother. Then Visakha, Megara's mother, went up to the Buddha, bowed and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to her, "Visakha, a female who has four qualities is practicing to win in this life, and she succeeds at it. What for?" "It's when a female is well organized at work, manages the domestic help, acts lovingly toward her husband, and preserves his earnings." "And how is a female well organized at work?" "It's when she's deft and tireless in doing domestic duties for her husband, such as knitting and sewing. She understands how to go about things in order to complete and organize the work. That's how a female is well organized at work." "And how does a female manage the domestic help?" "It's when she knows what work her husband's domestic bondservants, servants and workers have completed and what they've left incomplete. She knows who is sick and who is fit or unwell. She distributes to each a fair portion of fresh and cooked foods. That's how a female manages the domestic help." "And how does a female act lovingly toward her husband?" "It's when a female would not transgress in any way that her husband would not consider lovable, even for the sake of her own life. That's how a female acts lovingly toward her husband." "And how does a female preserve his earnings?" "It's when she ensures that any income her husband earns is guarded and protected, whether money, grain, silver or gold. She doesn't overspend, steal, waste or lose it. That's how a female preserves his earnings." A female who has these four qualities is practicing to win in this life, and she succeeds at it. A female who has four qualities is practicing to win in the next life, and she succeeds at it. What for? It's when a female is accomplished in faith, ethics, generosity, and wisdom. And how is a female accomplished in faith? It's when a female has faith in the realized one's awakening. That blessed one is perfected, a fully awakened Buddha, accomplished in knowledge and conduct, holy, knower of the world, supreme guide for those who wish to train, teacher of gods and humans, awakened, blessed. That's how a female is accomplished in faith. And how is a female accomplished in ethics? It's when a female doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, lie, or consume alcoholic drinks that cause negligence. That's how a female is accomplished in ethics. And how is a female accomplished in generosity? It's when she lives at home, rid of the stain of stinginess, freely generous, open-handed, loving to let go, committed to charity, loving to give and to share. That's how a female is accomplished in generosity. And how is a female accomplished in wisdom? It's when a female is wise. She has the wisdom of arising and passing away, which is noble, penetrative, and leads to the complete ending of suffering. That's how a female is accomplished in wisdom. A female who has these four qualities is practicing to win in the next life, and she succeeds at it. She's organized at work and manages the domestic help. She's lovable to her husband and preserves his wealth. Faithful, accomplished in ethics, bountiful, rid of stinginess, she always purifies the path to well-being in lives to come. And so, a lady in whom these eight qualities are found is known as virtuous, firm in principle, and truthful. Accomplished in 16 respects, complete with the eight factors, a virtuous laywoman such as she is reborn in the realm of the lovable gods. Winning in this life, second. Mendicants, a female who has four qualities is practicing to win in this life, and she succeeds at it. What for? It's when a female is well organized at work, manages the domestic help, acts lovingly toward her husband, and preserves his earnings. And how is a female well organized at work? It's when she's skilled and tireless in doing domestic duties for her husband. That's how a female is well organized at work. And how does a female manage the domestic help? It's when she knows what work her husband's domestic bondservants, servants, and workers have completed, and what they've left incomplete. She knows who is sick, and who is fit or unwell. She distributes to each a fair portion of fresh and cooked foods. That's how a female manages the domestic help. And how does a female act lovingly toward her husband? It's when a female would not transgress in any way that her husband would not consider lovable, even for the sake of her own life. That's how a female acts lovingly toward her husband. And how does a female preserve his earnings? It's when she tries to guard and protect any income her husband earns. That's how a female preserves his earnings. A female who has these four qualities is practicing to win in this life, and she succeeds at it. A female who has four qualities is practicing to win in the next life, and she succeeds at it. What for? It's when a female is accomplished in faith, ethics, generosity, and wisdom. And how is a female accomplished in faith? It's when a female has faith in the realized one's awakening. That's how a female is accomplished in faith. And how is a female accomplished in ethics? It's when a female doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, lie, or consume alcoholic drinks that cause negligence. That's how a female is accomplished in ethics. And how is a female accomplished in generosity? It's when she lives at home, rid of the stain of stinginess, freely generous, open-handed, loving to let go, committed to charity, loving to give and to share. That's how a female is accomplished in generosity. And how is a female accomplished in wisdom? It's when a female is wise. She has the wisdom of arising and passing away, which is noble, penetrative, and leads to the complete ending of suffering. That's how a female is accomplished in wisdom. A female who has these four qualities is practicing to win in the next life, and she succeeds at it. She's organized at work and manages the domestic help. She's lovable to her husband and preserves his wealth. Faithful, accomplished in ethics, being bountiful and rid of stinginess. She always purifies the path to well-being in lives to come. And so, a lady in whom these eight qualities are found is known as virtuous, firm in principle, and truthful. Accomplished in 16 respects, complete with the eight factors, A virtuous laywoman such as she is reborn in the realm of the lovable gods.